Egypt's stock exchange is again open for business, finally.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. It's been a couple of months now since mass protests rocked Egypt, ousted its government, and shut down the stock market there. But the exchange was open today amid fears if it had stayed closed much longer, it would have affected foreign investment. The BBC's Jonathan Head is with us from Cairo with the latest. Hi, Jonathan.
Nice to be with you, Steve.
The market is dropping lots. Is that because people don't think the new Egyptian government will be good for business?
I don't think it's that, Steve. I think it's simply that when you shut a stock market for 8 weeks during the most turbulent period in a country's history, you know, there's an awful lot of selling pressure in there. People who would have wanted to sell couldn't. They piled on their orders this morning. We had a 10% drop in the space of just a minute. And now, under new rules, they've suspended trading for half an hour. Everybody expected there'd be a big drop. But clearly, there's an awful lot of uncertainty about where Egypt goes from here. I don't think anybody except a very brave investor is ready to jump in right yet.
It's been weeks and weeks since the tumult on the streets of Egypt. Why did it take so long for the stock market to reopen?
Well, they planned to reopen it, but they kept delaying. It's been delayed five times. There were a number of reasons. Clearly, they were very nervous about panic selling. They wanted to get measures in place that would limit that. They've got those in. They were also concerned they didn't want people accused of corruption under President Mubarak, who were being investigated, to go and take their vast sums of money out. So that was a good reason for freezing the markets. They also wanted measures to protect smaller investors.
The BBC's Jonathan Head in Cairo. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve.
In Portugal, a budget vote today to reduce the country's debt could force the prime minister to resign. If the government does fall, that pushes Portugal one step closer to a massive European bailout. The latest from Marketplace Europe correspondent Stephen Beard.
The Portuguese government has been struggling to reduce its budget deficit. So far, it has failed. The latest measure is the fourth attempt in less than a year. The plan to raise taxes and cut public spending is deeply unpopular. Lawmakers are thought likely to reject it today. And if they do, the Prime Minister says he'll resign. Kevin Dunning of the Economist Intelligence Unit says investors may then stop buying Portuguese government bonds.
I think the situation is going to wind up that Portugal ends up seeking a bailout from its European partners in the same manner that Ireland and Greece had to.
This would be a further setback for the group of countries that use the euro. The Portuguese crisis would inflict maximum embarrassment. Tomorrow, European leaders meet for a major summit to approve a new beefed-up euro bailout fund. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European stocks are mostly flat right now. Toyota said today it's going to delay the Japanese launch of its new hybrid Prius minivan and wagon. The earthquake and tsunami caused big production problems there. The Nikkei lost 1.5% today. The unresolved nuclear plant issues keeping Tokyo shares lower. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost some points too, 17 of them, to end the day at 12,018.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at Progressive.com. And by Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info.
1 year ago today, President Obama signed health care reform into law. Since then, public opinion hasn't changed much. And a survey released by the Kaiser Family Foundation finds a majority of people are still confused by the law. It also says only slightly more people want to expand or keep the law than want to repeal it or replace it with something else. Drew Altman is president of the Kaiser Family Foundation. He's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
What was the overall message of these results?
There really has been no meaningful change. We still see half the American people for it and half the American people against it. I don't think we're going to see a lot of change until the major provisions of the law are implemented, the guts of the law. And that doesn't happen until 2014, The other big thing we see in public opinion is just confusion. So more than half of the American people tell us, you know, I just still can't figure this out. I'm still just very confused.
What part of the law do people like best?
The coverage expansions, the help people are going to get paying for their insurance policies, and the insurance reforms that eliminate the abuses in the insurance industry. They're more skeptical that the law will be helpful in terms of controlling overall healthcare costs in the country or helping them with their own healthcare costs.
What do people like least?
That's the issue of the individual mandate, which has been most hotly debated and which is the subject of court cases around the country. But I would add to that, that when people are told that the individual mandate only applies to people who don't have health insurance today, then opposition falls dramatically from almost 70% to only about a third.
And you mentioned a bunch of confusion about the law. Is this confusion because people just don't know? Do you think it's because of misinformation or just because it's so complicated?
People don't live in Washington, D.C., and they don't work on Capitol Hill or in the Department of Health and Human Services. And so it's really not the time when we should expect the American people to understand the details of the law. And they listen to a debate. And that's why even today, one third of seniors, and even a little bit more than that, still think that there are death panels in the law when there aren't. So there's a big burden on the media to be independent and try and make a judgment about what's important and what's political manipulation and not be manipulated itself and become part of the process. So I'll throw it back at you.
Drew Altman, president of the Kaiser Family Foundation. Drew, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And finally, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez believes in aliens. He even thinks there may have been life at one time on Mars. In a speech marking World Water Day earlier this week, Chavez, an avowed socialist, said the red planet could have had a civilization long ago. But he says when they adopted capitalism, the civilization died off. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, on Twitter at Radio Chio and online at marketplace.org. Share your thoughts with us and get the podcast there, too. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
All right, so here's an idea. What if we made toxic chemicals non-toxic from the start so we don't have to deal with their after effects later on?
And I said, rather than looking at how we design molecules that can treat or hopefully cure cancer, I want to try and come up with a way that all of the chemicals that we're surrounded by can't cause cancer and can't cause other kinds of toxicity.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the EPA's new green campaign, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.